Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, SJS, on this Friday afternoon, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Fresh roasted peanuts, hot. Pickle bar, where Buhner's bellied up to right now as we speak. Well, I'll tell you, beers and a wide variety as well. Lots of beverages and plenty of snacks. That's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we have a big show coming up for you today. Mel Proctor, he was the play-by-play voice for many years for the Washington Bullets and Wizards. Many years was the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Orioles. He also has done play-by-play work for the San Diego Padres, the Washington Nationals, the Texas Rangers, the Los Angeles Clippers, the New Jersey Nets. Along the way, he's also written a book, says, I love the work, but I hate the business. We understand that. But he's written that book. We'll talk to him about that. He was also the play-by-play voice on NBC Radio the night the Nittany Lion football team won the national championship against Miami. And we will replay for Mel his historic call on the Pete Kiftopoulos interception when we get that opportunity to have Mel on the show. Steve Samsel. We'll be talking about the return to Rec Hall, and also we'll be talking about media. Fox Sports 1 is launching in just 16 days. 16 days, FS1 launches. We'll talk about that. Josh Moyer, Nittany Nation reporter for ESPN.com. Lots to talk about there, taking a look at the Big Ten and also the Nittany Lions heading into training camp. As for Kevin, it's BYOC Day. Because the Phillies didn't trade anybody. He has a lot of wine. Thus, he should bring his own cheese.
Yeah. I'm sitting there BYOC, and then it hits me.
Bring your own cheese.
I'm glad they didn't get rid. Listen, how many times have I said to you, I'm glad they didn't get rid of Chase Utley? How many times have I said to you, I don't want to see him go?
All right. Who do you want to see go?
I think Michael Young, they could have gotten somebody. I think they could have gotten some value there.
Yeah, but he'll go on waivers. You know, that's not over with.
Papelbon, they don't have anybody to close. So it's like, okay, well, do you keep somebody who probably will win games, or do you try and develop somebody? All right, how about we keep Papelbon and develop somebody at the same time? So I'm happy with that move not happening.
Why? Here's the problem. You want to know why Papelbon wasn't moved?
Well, nobody wanted him, for one thing.
That's a big reason why you don't get moved. Next.
I mean, for the other thing is they don't have anybody to fill in for him. It's not like when Lidge was there and then they have Madsen to come in.
Yeah, but there's nothing to save, okay?
Well, that's another issue.
All right. Okay. Who else should go on the Kevin Herr list?
That was it.
I feel like I'm having a conversation at a table in the back with Scarface here.
Who goes next? who's next? The only other one that I would probably say, I would not have been upset to see Howard go, but I knew that wasn't going to happen.
It can't happen because he's hurt. He has no value.
But I mean, even if he wasn't hurt at this point, with the numbers that he's produced this year, I would have been fine. But nobody's gonna want to take that contract over either. And that's the other problem that I have with the way Ruben Amaro has worked the Phillies right now. He's worked them into a situation where he's put all his eggs in one basket, and that basket had a hole in it. And now it's started, and nothing is happening. I mean, you've got injuries left and right to the key players. There's the guys that you felt were going to perform really well that came up through your farm system are not performing as well. It's very frustrating right now to watch this baseball team, and then also to watch, you know, the way they try and fix it.
Well, it's going to take a while to fix it. They're not in a great position to fix it. The Red Sox presented the model to everybody a year ago as to when you have overpriced, underachieving talent that also is not exactly the smoothest ride in the clubhouse. You deal it. And they took Adrian Gonzalez, they took Carl Crawford, and took Josh Beckett, along with, surprisingly, Nick Punto. Kidding. And dealt them to Los Angeles. They didn't care what they got from Los Angeles. I mean, the most important part of that deal for the Red Sox was getting rid of the salary. They dumped a total of $250 million in salary that they would have had to have paid out over the next 5 years. $250 million. Now, they've taken that money and they've recycled it in other ways. Mike Napoli, Johnny Gomes, and they've re-signed Buchholz to a longer-term deal. He's not playing, which is why they had to make the Jake Peavy deal. They don't know what to do yet about what with Ellsbury because he's not re-signed. They re-signed David Ortiz, so they took some of that money and recycled it. But they fundamentally changed their team, and they have become a team that grinds out games. They have 10 walk-off wins this year already. They're a team that won 69 games last year. They're approaching 69 wins now. And they've done it without a closer. You know, they haven't had Joel Hanrahan or Andrew Bailey for the longest time now. So, I mean, they're really doing it with some scotch tape out there. But I think you have to sometimes make a decision and say, who do we cut loose in this thing? Unless there are any bad clubhouse guys. I've heard not one thing about the Phillies clubhouse at all.
Well, Papelbon is worn out as
well. Papelbon, yeah, you're right about that. I'll agree with that. Papelbon is absolutely worn out as welcome. And he's saving games.
Listen, you could be colorful if you're saving games and winning. You can't be colorful and lose. Just doesn't work.
There's a difference between being flamboyant and a swear word. And flamboyant is you're saving games and winning. he's just flamboyant.
That's a good point.
Don't worry about him. Right? I mean, Manny Ramirez, okay? Oh, it's just Manny being Manny. You know, they won in 2004, they won in 2007. You're winning World Series. Hey, it's just Manny being Manny. Things go downhill. We can't have him anymore. They just can't do that. So there's always that fine line. You know, if they like you, you're flamboyant. If they don't like you, there's a bad word for you.
What's the line from Bull Durham? When you're winning in the show, you can let fungus grow on your flip-flops and you're considered colorful. Right. That's now, exactly you're just right. A slob.
That's exactly right. So, well, today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Stock up. Just snacks, peanuts, pickleball. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. That's right. Snacks, beverages, beer. Did we mention beer? And also, of course, the fresh, hot roasted peanuts. And on top of that, and there is more, the Pickle Bar. Buhner's bellied up to the Pickle Bar right now as we speak. All right. It's also, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A lot coming up on today's show. First of all, we're going to be talking with Steve Samsel, talk a little bit about the Rec Hall announcement for Penn State basketball, but also about the launch of Fox Sports 1, which will take place 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll get into that with Steve Samsel, media critic, who will give us his take on that. Mel Proctor, the former voice of the Baltimore Orioles, Washington Nationals, Washington Bullets / Wizards, New Jersey Nets, L.A. Clippers, Texas Rangers, and San Diego Padres. Done a lot in his career. He also was the guy that called the Penn State National Championship game in the Fiesta Bowl against Miami. We'll talk with Mel Proctor today as well. And we have a lot going on in today's show, and we're looking forward to it very much. The 94KX Kids Cares for Kids Radiothon benefiting the Geisinger Medical Center, Janet Weiss Children's Hospital, and the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals is taking place right now. We would like to see you get involved in whatever you could do to help out. It's began this morning at 6 o'clock. They're also have been broadcasting live at the Susquehanna Valley Mall in Sealands Grove. So whatever you can do to help out, it will be tremendous because your donation to the Radiothon is going to help families. And it's a position I've been in before, and I told this story yesterday, and I'll retell it again today about what Geisinger means and what your care means as well. I think everyone knows that my son was born with spina bifida, and he had, over time, I would always take him, actually, we would take him to the Hershey Medical Center. That's where his treatment was since he was born. Now, you would know by seeing Christopher today that there's anything wrong with him at all. I mean, so many with spina bifida don't have the use of their legs. He walks, runs, you wouldn't know it. He had needed to have bladder surgery done. And the surgery was actually done at Children's Hospital in Boston. The surgery had been an experimental one. And for a period of time, things were going really well after it happened. Then I remember in February of 2009... I was doing Penn State basketball, and suddenly on a Friday night, he went bowling with his buddies. He felt great. Then the next morning, he woke up, Saturday morning, and felt like he had the flu. Now, we didn't think too much of it. And then Sunday, he still had the flu. I mean, bad. And then Monday, had the flu again. Well, this is really lingering a long time. And I just received a letter from the study at Children's, because he was a part of a study. And they always have to inform you when anything else happens with any of the other patients in the study. And there had been a girl in the study who had a perforation develop in her bladder, this experimental bladder, because it was grown in the lab down in North Carolina. So I read that, and it planted a seed for me, but I had to fly to Purdue to do a basketball game.
So I fly out on a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, of course, I call first thing. How's he doing? And Kathy tells me that, I mean, he seemed like he was getting a little bit better on Tuesday. And she tells me, she says, he's sicker than ever. And I said to her, take him to the hospital right now. And she said, well, he has the flu. I said, no, take him to the hospital right now. I said, I've got a bad feeling about this. And that, of course, was in conjunction with the letter I'd read. Well, she gets him to the hospital, and they determine they have to get him to Geisinger ASAP in the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. So as soon as the game is over, I fly back on the team charter, I landed at like 11:45 at night, and I'm at Geisinger between 1 and 1:30 in the morning. And at 4:30, they come in and they tell us that, look, he too had developed a perforation in his bladder and it was leaking urine into his abdomen and was extremely sick to the point where we received the talk, hey, look, he might not make it through the night. Toughest words for any parent to hear as their child fights. The doctors were brilliant at the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. Simply brilliant. Saving him, putting him into ICU. He had to stay opened up for a few days. But the care that they gave doctors, nurses, any hospital personnel is unrivaled in any place I've gone to at any point with any of my children. It's unrivaled. The professionalism, but more than professionalism, a deep caring for the children and the families, plus, of course, the wonderful, wonderful people at Ronald McDonald House. And when my mom passed away, the request that we made through her was that any donations we had would go to Ronald McDonald House because it had been so important during the course of my lifetime. So whatever you can do to help out, because the 94KX Cares for Kids, which runs through Sunday, your donation makes a tremendous difference. And the number to call is 1-800-799-KIDS. That's 1-800-799-KIDS. Or you can just link to the 94KX Cares for Kids Radiothon. You just do that by going, of course, to the website. But that's the number to call. The next part is never, never think that, well, I can only give this. And feel embarrassed that's all you can give. That's ridiculous. Any donation you make helps because your donation is added to his and her donation, is added to his donation, to her donation, and suddenly it becomes a big donation. So never, never think that, I can only do this. You know, that person over there can do so much more, so I'll let that person over there do it. No. Step forward, and whatever fits your budget is going to help out a family. It'll help out a family because your donation will be added in with everybody else's. The Radiothon on 94KX is going to run through Sunday. We mentioned the Susquehanna Valley Mall in Sealands Grove and the phone number, which is 1-800-799-KIDS. That is 1-800-799-KIDS. It's always tough telling the personal stories on the air, but let's face it, after you've done this show for, what have we done this now, 20 months? I mean, you feel like you're talking with family after a period of time. You know, the callers that call into the show are like gold. The listeners are gold. And you feel after a period of time that you develop family so you can tell personal stories such as this one. He is doing tremendous today. He eventually had a second surgery at Boston Children's Hospital and has been thriving ever since. Well, the reason he's thriving and had a chance to thrive and get that second all-important surgery is because of the great, great people at Janet Weiss Children's Hospital at the Geisinger Medical Center. Whatever you can do to help, please help. 1-800-799-KIDS and the 94KX Cares for Kids Radiothon that goes through tomorrow and also into Sunday. So again, it goes through Sunday. They started this morning at 6, and again, goes tomorrow and Sunday. Whatever you can do to help. 1-800-799-KIDS. All right, coming up, we'll talk with Steve Samsel, media critic, about the rec hall announcement and also about the launch 2 weeks from tomorrow of Fox Sports One. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ah, yes, the pickle bar, the fresh roasted peanuts. But the bottom line is it's the weekend. It's time to stock up. I know Pocono has a big NASCAR race this weekend. Looking forward to that. Stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up, news at the bottom of the hour as we continue with SJS right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Second half hour of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones Show on this Friday brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Fresh roasted peanuts. Oh, and also the pickle bar, but beverages. They have beer. They have snacks. Did I mention they have beer? Yes, they have beer and plenty of other beverages as well. It is one-stop shopping for the weekend with plenty of snacks as well. Big NASCAR race coming up this weekend at Pocono. You want to make sure you're geared up. Major League Baseball. Kevin says he's now converted to being a Pirates fan for the rest of the year because he likes to, again, sprain ankles, jumping bandwagons. That happens. Well, you don't have to sprain an ankle. Just go right into Brewers Outlet and stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am safely ensconced here in the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jack Hamm is the one that when he was here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, he's the one that nicknamed it the Chateau. He says, "You're broadcasting from the Chateau." And I said, I've used it ever since because that's that's his baby. And congratulations, by the way, to my broadcast partner for Penn State football, Jack Hamm, because he is in Canton, Ohio this weekend and celebrating the 25th anniversary of his induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Very special for a very special guy. I'm so, so happy for Jack and Joanne, and they are in Canton this weekend to celebrate the 25th anniversary of his induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All right, a lot going on. Earlier this week, Rec Hall came back into focus for Penn State basketball. They've not played a game there since January 7th, 1996, when they beat Wisconsin, and Penn State was ranked 25th at the time. They finally were a ranked basketball team playing a game in Rec Hall. They had just come off the Cable Car Classic tournament championship, where they beat Steve Nash and Santa Clara in the first game and then beat Bradley in the second game. All four teams in that tournament, the other one being Georgia Tech, made the NCAAs that year. So it was a magical season for Penn State, and they've played the final eight games of that regular season in the Jordan Center, all the sellouts. Well, Rec Hall has been so important to Penn State basketball, but they haven't played a game there since. It takes a lot of logistics to make this possible. They're going to have to actually buy and bring a basketball court in to put it over the existing volleyball court. They're going to have to move the seats back a bit on each side because they changed the configuration of Rec Hall years ago when they renovated it. Even something as simple as the referee's whistle. When you go to a college basketball game, the referee's whistle is synced to the clock in the scoreboard. That's how the clock stops. not the clock operator. It's the whistle that stops him. Well, they don't have that system in rec hall. So there are little things like that, hurdles they've had to overcome, even requesting to the Faculty Senate about clearing what is supposed to be a study day, because on December 14th, it is the day after classes end at Penn State and the transition into finals week. Steve Samsel, media critic, was there to take in the press conference, and we talked about a lot of other topics as well. Steve, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
It was something I had heard rumors of before, so it was neat to see it play out. It was interesting to hear them talk about all the machinations they had to go to get it done. And it was interesting to sense the excitement in the room, which I think is going to be a big thing. I think it's going to be an event people enjoy, and it's certainly, you know, Patrick Chambers is always excited about everything, but he certainly seemed excited about this. And I think it's going to be good for the program, but especially the energy in the room, just, you know, not that it was some big ooh-ah shocking moment, but people are excited about it, which I think is great for the program.
What about the touch of having Bruce Parkhill there?
Yeah, I thought that was wonderful, and actually he was the last person I talked to on the way out. I mean, he's such a great link to the university, to the program itself, and such a class guy, and an ambassador for Penn State, you know, even still, that I think that was nice. And obviously the media members asked about his thoughts about playing in the place. And, again, that just that energy and excitement and that class guy that it, anytime you put him with the program, it speaks well to the program. So I thought all of it came off well.
Yeah, you know, in the first 3.5 seasons they were in the Big Ten, he, of course, was the one that created that transition. I mean, he essentially had to have the same job and do the job twice. He had to start from square one to build the program, and then when he went to the Big Ten, he had to start over again and did it again. So I think he's always deserved a lot of credit for that. And Rec Hall certainly played a role in that, Steve. I mean, it played a role in the early years in the Big Ten because they sold out every game once they got in.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the era when I was here, and I remember talking to him, you know, with that exact question. You know, you've raised the bar, you've done all you could in the Atlantic 10, you know, you won the championship, and now here you are again, and you've got to start digging all over again. And then he, you know, talked about that challenge and embraced it, but it was a tough time, I think, for him in terms of, you know, having done stuff and having to do it all over again. And Rec Hall was that. I mean, obviously, you know, one of the first questions that came up about the facility was the Indiana game, you know, and the people on top of everything. And that's why it's a win for the program. I mean, if you were going to schedule out and sketch out what's going to happen and what they're going to talk about, you knew that was going to come up. And it was. People were on top of each other. It was just a wonderful place. And it grew, you know, when I was a student here, you know, I remember a Lehigh game when Carl Travis was playing center, and it wasn't a big crowd. And by the time, you know, later that season or later the next season, maybe it was a Temple game that Coach Parkhill made reference to, with people standing down the street, you know, all the way to Fiji Fraternity and Phi Delta, which isn't there anymore in terms of waiting in line to get into a game. So it is a special place, and I think they are going to fill it up, and it'll be a lot of energy and a lot of fun.
Something that people do not realize, Steve, the building has changed since the last time they played a game of there. The seats are going to have to be pushed back on the two sidelines actually to accommodate this. They had to bring in a floor to do this, which means they had to buy it. The baskets, the electronics have been removed from underneath the floor, so you have to change that as well. So they really had to really map this out carefully before they announced it.
Yeah, and I think there's still some hurdles. I mean, I guess, you know, one of the bigger hurdles that nobody really asked about, and I guess I didn't know until talking to somebody afterwards, was, you know, it's a study day, so apparently they need to get some approval from the University Faculty Senate
right, to
be on the study day. And then also the whistles with the scoreboard, it won't be tied in like the whistles would in terms of stopping the clock at some other arenas. So there's still some things to get over, and I think the questions about alumni coming back and things like that are things they've thought of but haven't, you know, fully finalized yet. So I think there's still a lot more to come with it, but, you know, and it's an exciting time in advance of season ticket sales to get people thinking about it and, you know, students motivated. And I think there'll be more to come with it. And then when it does come to fruition, I know Coach Chambers kind of said at the end, hey, we want to fill this place up. I guess that wasn't one of the things that came to my mind about being a problem with this game. I think it probably will be a pretty full house, if not over full when the time comes.
Yeah, it is the day after classes end at Penn State, and it's the transition into finals week, right, which is why they had to get permission about this with the study day. Also, ticketing. I mean, it really is a separate game. You really can't. I mean, I would think ticketing is going to be different and difficult. Well, not difficult, but different because people have their seats in the Jordan Center. The seating's different at Rec Hall.
Yeah, and I think that'll take some patience and some understanding on the part of people. You know, you might not be at exactly the same place in relation to the floor, obviously, in Rec Hall as you are in the Bryce Jordan Center. But it comes to one of those, you know, maybe greater goods, a little overstating it, but one of those things that's good for the program and good for the athletic department. Say, yep, okay, this is where I'm going to be here. This is going to be a cool thing. And this seats, you know, might be a little different, might be a little less comfortable depending on where you're at a different part of Rec Hall as opposed to the Jordan Center. But I think hopefully everybody will jump on board and make it a great event.
Yeah, something I've talked about before, and I thought Bruce Parkhill was very honest about this today. He talked about how great it is to play there. He also discussed how difficult it is to recruit.
Yeah, and you can just see that, knowing where the old basketball office was up on that mezzanine level there, and you can picture him as he told the story walking out of his office and seeing someone, you know, walk through the concourse there on, I guess, what would have been one of the south side portals, and you could hear someone say, well, they play here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in many ways, it's probably not, you know, wouldn't be for basketball now. And even then, when they were first in the Big Ten, and even as the A-10 was winding down, you know, a place that somebody's going to come into and they're going to flip the lights on and it's going to go from black to well-lit, and you're going to say, wow, it's going to take your breath away. I mean, it took your breath away when the people were just a few feet away from you on the sidelines, and it felt like everybody was on top of you when it was loud and raucous.
Steve, I want to change topics for you just for a moment. Obviously, this is a big day with Major League Baseball. It's the trading deadline and so forth. But also the specter of the Biogenesis scandal hanging over this. How do you feel the media has handled on a national basis Biogenesis and also, and in particular, Alex Rodriguez?
I think it's depended on who you're listening to in the media. I think that's going to become more obvious as we have all these different outlets. I think they've done a good job. I mean, they're spelling out the story and what's going on. They've been pretty forthright. I know I was shocked listening to some national radio on SiriusXM the other day driving, you know, in terms of, you know, who people consider cheaters and not cheaters and those kind
right.
of things. But, I mean, I guess that's surprising to me in terms of what people's expectations are. And it was a host that was younger than me, you know, talking about, well, they weren't too upset about certain things happening. And I thought, boy, if this is where we're going, that's kind of scary. But
right.
I think they've been on the story. But I do think with, like, any big story, too, there's that nuance piece. I mean, there's maybe not as much depth in certain parts as there is debate and some screaming in place.
I think what I've found that in this so far is that there's been a lot of, by seasoned reporters, a lot of responsible reporting because they have not, you know, they haven't leaked names, which I have found to be interesting. But I was listening to the same show you were on SiriusXM. I was taken aback by that one.
Yeah, I just don't, I guess, to me it's cheating, you know, and I don't know how you can spin it any
sure it
other
is.
Way. And it's kind of scary when people think that's not the case. And again, it's even scarier when that's someone that's making that argument is helping shape a discussion moving forward.
Now moving forward with that, the Rodriguez part of it, you know, he's obviously been the one that, while they've stayed away from other names, I mean, there's been, you know, obviously they've floated a little bit the Bartolo Colon name, they've floated the Johnny Polanco name, that's why the Iglesias trade was made that allowed Peavy to go to the Red Sox. I mean, those names have been floated out there, but we know who the center of attention is. How's that story been handled by the media, in your opinion?
I guess as I expected it to be. I mean, he's a big guy, a lightning rod guy, and they're all going to pile on, and the other people are going to say, hey, well, you know, like, go ahead and take your punishment and come back and get your $60 million on the back end of it. So I think about as I would expect it to be, and I think it's been more interesting to see the tug of war between the team, the chess match between the team and Alex and his people in terms of, you know, how you're trying to get your message out there and then find another doctor to tell your story. And, oh, that doctor, you know, it's just been kind of silly sometimes when you really want somebody as a fan just to come up and take some responsibility, you know, and just say, hey, yep, you got me. I mean, I know that's not going to happen, but boy, it'd be refreshing for that one person somewhere along the line to do that because folks are pretty forgiving, maybe not for him, but folks are pretty forgiving if someone steps up and says, hey, I'm responsible, it was my fault, you know, take the fall, and then you got a chance to come back. I just, it's not going to play out in any way well for him, it doesn't seem.
in the past 20 years, did you ever envision that we'd be having sports news cycles like this and talking about that a sports center would not be highlight laden, but it would be laden with this?
No, and I don't think we're. I think we're getting further away every day. I think that the highlights and with the way you know, teams are controlling their news, and the NFL Network is hiring people like Judy Batista from the New York Times, who's a great writer, you know, a reporter. I think people are going to control their own messages, and what's going to happen is the market is going to get split up even more. And I guess the scary part of that is the shared experience that sports is. As media entities somehow make it more fun to watch a game from TV at home and you can see what's going on and feel closer to the action, you know, someone may go to their news after the game of the highlights to NBC Sports Network. Somebody else will go to Fox Sports 1. Somebody else will go to ESPN. And that shared experience of, hey, they said this, or hey, I saw that, we're going to lose that except for the biggest of big events. And I'm not sure that's a good thing. I mean, we've lost it for news already in many ways, but I think we're going to lose it for sports eventually, and I don't know that that's a good thing.
You mentioned fun, and you mentioned Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 1 has been putting out releases saying, we're fun. In other words, we're fun and ESPN isn't. We're this, you know. And they keep talking about fun. And someone said, and I want to get your reaction to this, that their version of SportsCenter or whatever they wish to call it is going to resemble something like Best Damn Sports Show, period. If that is true, what is your reaction to that?
Yeah, and I forget who I'm stealing this line from. I forget if I stole it. I'm stealing it from John Oren from the Sports Business Daily, who I talked to the other day, or not, or if it was someone I read. Maybe it was SportsIllustrated.com. I don't think, and I agree, and I credit them with the line, but I don't think any show, period, should look like the Best Damn Sports Show, period. I mean, I just
agree.
It's scary. If that's what they are going to be different than SportsCenter, but I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to give the two hosts from TSN Canada a chance and say, hey, let's make my highlights fun and interact and banter. But I don't know if fun, and maybe I'm a little older than maybe the demographic that has the money they want, but I don't know if fun is going to be enjoyable, perhaps.
But I will point this out in all fairness to them. Whatever they start with, usually 8 times out of 10, there's tweaking in the first year. So I will at least throw that out there. I think that's a fair statement, don't you think?
Yeah, and there's going to be some great talent who, you know, has moved from the NFL Network or ESPN to these places and is going to get a chance. And it's a great opportunity for people to establish themselves and for younger folks to get a chance to come up and be seen. And there's great talent out there. But I think Fox is really good at setting a tone and committing to a brand and an approach. Yeah. And I think it could be tweaked. I just hope it's not too jocular or sophomoric, I guess, is my concern.
They're obviously
I guess if that's my concern, I can change the channel to the other one, I guess.
Right. Well, exactly. And it's interesting how the specialty channels have actually seen ratings increases in the second quarter of the year, and ESPN's actually went down 32%. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think that's what you're going to see. That people talk about ESPN's ratings being down, and I think it's not like it's going to go up anytime in the near future or the far future. We're going to split up the pie, and people are going to go to the place they're most comfortable with, or they feel most familiar with, or who does soccer better, or whatever sport it is. You know, it's hard for me to believe after next season that NASCAR has a huge presence on ESPN platforms. So I think you're going to see it's almost going to become a Fox and CNN and headline news on the news side, and the same thing on the sports side in some ways.
As you know, I teach a sports broadcasting class at Penn State. You watch a lot of sports, listen to a lot of sports. If you were standing in front of my class, you know, and obviously they have to try and get jobs, but what advice would you give them?
I think know their facts. I think truth is stranger than fiction. You know, what plays out there and is happening, you don't have to supplement it. You just have to share what's happening with the viewers or the listeners. And I think, you know, from the broadcasting point, I want to be talked to, but I don't want to be talked down to. And I think those would probably be the three of the bigger things.
That's nice, solid advice. I think I'll remember that when I get in front of them.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
what we'll do is at some point, I think after FS1 launches, get you back on, get your impressions of the launch and what you think. But between now and then, we appreciate it.
Hey, thanks very much. Thanks for having me and being patient with the time. I appreciate it.
Patient. Oh, very, very much so. Steve Samsel does a great job. Always has a great handle on it. And then, you know, and the advice that he would give the broadcasting class, you know, to know your facts. Truth is stranger than fiction, which we find out every single day. And always talk to the audience and don't talk down to them. I mean, there are moments where obviously, you know, where people look at the host and you may have a little more information than they do. That's why you have a host. But you talk to the audience. You never talk down to them, ever. My goodness, we have so many smart people out there that know so many things. Very intelligent audience. My goodness. All right. Don't forget about the 94KX Radiothon that is going on. It's 1-800-799-KIDS. Started this morning at 6. It'll continue through Sunday. Whatever you can do to help out the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital at Geisinger Medical Center and help out families, please do so. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Big weekend coming up, and you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up in the next half hour, Mel Proctor, one of the legends in broadcasting. We'll have a chance to talk to him about what he's doing now and reminisce about some of the great moments in his career. That's coming up in the next half hour of SJS right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.